Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision-making.
Hello, I'm Peter Tugwell, a practicing clinician, and I hold the Canada Research Chair in Health Equity. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health Guidelines.
Dr. Grant is looking forward to wrapping up his last appointment of the day. He has tickets for the hockey game and wants to make sure he has enough time to get home, have supper, and beat the traffic across town to the game. But there will be no pre-game chat with this patient. He has Sabine in his office, a 40-year-old Syrian-born woman with two children, Ishtar and Azu. The public health office has sent her a notice that Ishtar's immunizations are incomplete. That's simple enough to fix. But something in the look of the child makes him suspicious. Acting on a hunch, he decides to screen Ishtar and Azu for anemia. He fills out the requisition and explains to Sabine where to take her children for the test. But the idea of testing has alarmed her, and so he spends more time explaining his concern and what the remedies would be if an iron deficiency is found. So much for leaving early. But no matter. He has a feeling that he's just tipped a puck into the net.
Dr. Kevin Potty is the first author of the evidence review on iron deficiency anemia of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health. Welcome again, Dr. Potty.
Thank you.
Dr. Potty, is it reasonable to check the kids for anemia?
Well, I think practitioners are always asking themselves, should I screen for anemia? And which kind of anemia should I be most concerned about? Do I need to do blood tests for sickle cell anemia, thalassemia, iron deficiency anemia? And so I think that our guidelines are very helpful because we clearly bring the focus down to doing a test for the hemoglobin, which I think is a great starting point to diagnose and treat any kinds of anemia.
So should we screen all the immigrants and refugees, or there is a special population who can benefit the most?
From our review, we've really been able to focus down to the children and the women of reproductive age because these are the groups that have the highest demand for iron. The children are growing, the women are having babies or having the monthly menses, and so these are the groups that have the most to gain from the treatment.
What are the barriers or problems to identify anemia in this population?
Well, I've had a number of examples that are almost difficult to believe in terms of hemoglobin levels at 55 of a woman that reports no symptoms. However, when you actually diagnose the anemia and you treat, then they start saying, oh, I guess it wasn't normal to have such shortness of breath going upstairs or to have such fatigue during the day. And so they're very happy to be treated and feel much better.
But if someone has this kind of iron deficiency and they can manage to still keep going, why we care about it? There is some life-threatening diseases that we can screen instead.
Yeah, I think that iron deficiency touches on the central focus of an immigrant family, and that is the how the children are going to be learning in school and able to get good jobs, and it's the future. So I think immigrants are focused on their children. And what we find in our review is that there is improved cognitive development when children are not iron deficient. And I believe immigrant mothers and immigrant families care a lot about that.
There is any barriers in order to reach a treatment when the anemia has been identified?
Well, certainly when you talk about diet across cultures, you're going to find some barriers. So we believe that there are various sources of iron in terms of supplements that we believe will be very effective, and that I think that are something that is very acceptable when the actual immigrant mother or family understand the need for the supplement and can be very effective to replace iron stores.
What is important of unique of this evidence review?
Well, I think that the Canadian Task Force has looked at iron deficiency anemia, but they have not made recommendations for routine screening. And that's because the task force isn't able to focus on special populations that are at highest risk. And I think that's the benefit of our process and the way we've been able to look at the evidence around a special population and to use a high-quality method that actually clearly provides a practical recommendation for women and children for screening for iron deficiency anemia.
Dr. Potti, again, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
There are three key points to remember regarding iron deficiency anemia. Number one, immigrants and refugees coming from regions with limited access to iron-rich foods, higher rates of infectious disease, and higher parity are at risk for iron deficiency. Number two, to improve their cognitive development, growing children aged 1 to 4 years should be screened for iron deficiency by means of hemoglobin. Number three, to improve hemoglobin levels and work productivity, immigrant and refugee women of reproductive age should be screened by means of hemoglobin. This is a podcast of the Canadian Collaboration for Immigrant and Refugee Health, produced in cooperation with the Canadian Medical Association Journal and the Cochrane Equity Methods Group.